Okay, Be'ezus Hashem, let's begin. Famous Rashis and ideas in Parshas Ekev. So the Torah mentions the Tzira here. Moshe is describing to Bnei Yisrael all of the wonders Hashem did for them, and that they took him out of Yitzrayim with all the miracles. Moshe was telling Bnei Yisrael, don't be afraid. Lo tira mehem, don't be afraid of the kings in Canaan, because just like Hashem helped you before, he helped you again. And in the context of giving Bnei Yisrael chizuk, don't be afraid, Hashem's going to help you, Moshe mentions the tzira. The gamas ha-tzira, yishalach Hashem elkecha bam, adabot ha-nisharim ba-nisharim yipanecha. The tzira was some type of a locust. And Rashi says, "He says zarkes behem mara, umesarastan, umesame senehem, bechol makom shayu nistarim sham." They would fly around and they would shoot this poison at the enemy and blind them and injure them wherever they were hiding. The pasuk says they were hiding. So this is the tzira. Now it's Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a comment here that in Yehoshua, in Perikov Dalid, the Navi relates that they crossed the Yarden, they fought in Yericho, and then Hashem sent the tzira, and then the pasuk says, Teshnei malchei ha'amori lo b'chirbecha v'lo b'kishtecha. And you beat the two malchei ha'amori not with your swords. Now, it's a striking pasuk because it mentions the malchei ha'amori after Melchemes Yericho. But that's not the right order. The Mefarshim discussed this problem. The pasuk mentions the malchei ha'amori afterwards. So Rav Yaakov explains as follows. He says, after Sichon and Og were conquered, the Amori, not every person was killed. There were still people living there in the Oshvei Haaretz. There were still people from Sichon and Og around, from their kingdoms. And that's why Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven built Arei Miftzar, fortified cities. And these Yoshvei Haaretz would hide. And their plan was, when Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven would pass over the Yarden and be far away, then they would gather together and conquer these cities. And that's where the Tzira came in. The Tzira came in and killed them in their hiding places, as the pasuk says here, Hanishar Banishtarim. That's the pshat of the Tzira. And that's why in Yehoshua, the Tzira aren't mentioned right away. It's only mentioned towards the end. Because in the beginning of the Muhammad, the Tzira weren't necessary. The Tzira weren't used to fight on the west side of the Yarden. They were used for the east side. Years later, the Tzira came and wiped out the enemy that was still on the east side of the yard. And that's the pshat of the pasuk in Yehoshua, lo b'charbecha v'lo b'kishtecha, meaning, you didn't kill them with your swords, because it was the tzira that killed them. Psst. And that was the miracle. So that's Rabbi Yaakov's take. It explains in the pasuk in the Chumash, it says, nisharim v'nistarim, the ones that are remaining and hidden. It's referring to the ones remaining and hidden on the east side of the Yarden after they crossed over. It explains why the Tzira is mentioned only towards the end of Yehoshua. It explains why the Amori is mentioned in the Pasuk in Yehoshua after Melchemes Yericho. And it explains why in that Pasuk it says, Lo b'charbecha v'lo b'kishtecha. Fascinating shot of Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, let's continue. Now here, there's a amazing chiddush of the Chafetz Chaim. It's found in a very long footnote in the end of the introduction to the Sefer Avos Chesed. And that Sefer, the Chafetz Chaim, talks about the mitzvah of Halachta B'Drachah, go on Hashem's ways. He points out the mitzvahs mentioned over and over again in Chumash Devarim. And going in Hashem's ways means copying his good midos, Rachum, Chanun, Chesed, etc. And the Chafetz Chaim noticed a very, very subtle diuk in the psukim, and based on that he built a whole yesod in Avodas Hashem. The Torah mentions the mitzvah of Halachta B'Drachah three times in the Parsha. The first time is in Perikles, Pasuk Vav. It says, L'leches B'Drachah u'l'yiro oso. So it's Halachta B'Drachah followed by Yiras Hashem. Later, in Perik Yud, Pasuk Yud Beis, we'll get back to this Pasuk later, Bezuz Hashem, it says, L'yiras Hashem Elokecha, L'leches B'chol Drachah u'l'ava oso. Yira, Halachta B'Drachah, and then Ava. And then later, also in our Parsha, in Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Kaf Beis, it says, Li'ava Hashem Elokechem, L'leches B'chol Drachah u'l'dof kabo. So in the third Pasuk, there's no Yira anymore, it's not mentioned. That's interesting. And in the third Pasuk, first Ava, and then afterwards Dveikus. In the second Pasuk, first Yira followed by Ava. So what's happening here? So the Chafetz Chaim explains as follows. He says, the Torah is teaching us that if you want to grow in Avodas Hashem Bein Adam Lemakom, so one way is to work on Bein Adam Lechaveiro. If you want to grow in Bein Adam Lemakom, work on Bein Adam Lechaveiro. That's the stepping stone. And he says as follows. The lowest level of Avodas Hashem, and this is a very high level, is Yiras Hashem. So the first Pasuk is saying, if you want to get to the level of Yira, first what do you have? Halachta B'Drachah. So the first Pasuk in Perek Ches Pasuk Vav says Halachta B'Drachah and then Yira. Now you have Yira, and you want to grow to the higher level of serving Hashem out of Ava. So the next Pasuk says, you want to go from Yira to Ava? Have Halachta B'Drachah again in the middle. More working on your midos. More working on your midos. And the last Pasuk, it starts with Ava. Why? Because you have Ava already from the previous Pasuk. You've served Hashem out of Ava. But now you want to get to the highest level of Dveikus. The Chafetz Chaim quotes from the Ramban that serving Hashem out of Dveikus is an overwhelming, constant Ava Hashem. That's Dveikus Hashem. You want to get to that level? Again, work on Bein Adam L'Makom. So the Torah is teaching us, if you want to grow in Bein Adam L'Makom, you work on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. The Chafetz Chaim doesn't explain exactly why this should be so, but this is his yesod. This is his yesod. One angle might be that part of the chiyuv of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is recognizing the Tzelem Elokim that every Jew has. And you should want to help your friend and give kavod to the Tzelem Elokim. Well, if you're treating Tzelem Elokim correctly, then kal v'chomer you should be treating Hashem himself. Properly as well. So this is the Yesod, beautiful Tiyuk in the Psukim, that one way to work on Bein Adam L'Makom is to work on Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Okay. And in general, in this parasha, halachah d'bracha was mentioned so many times. The Chafetz Chaim writes in his Svarim that we shouldn't think that having good midos and doing chesed is just a nice thing to do. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It's a chiyuv. It's mentioned over and over again. He lists seven times where the mitzvah is mentioned, three of which are in, indeed, this week's parasha. Okay, let's continue. Moshe Rabbeinu discusses Chayte Egel and the aftermath of Chayte Egel, and he talks about the 40 days. So here Rashi just mentions something everyone has to know. You have to know the dates of Moshe's time up on Har Sinai. Moshe, when Matan Torah happened, either on Vav or Zayin Sivan, that's a machlokas. And then Moshe was on Har Sinai for that. And then the Psukim related Mishpatim, Moshe went up somehow into the Shemayim to get the Torah, and that everyone agrees happened on Zayin Sivan. Either it happened on the day of Matan Torah itself, after Matan Torah on Zayin, or it happened the day after Matan Torah, if Matan Torah happened on Vav. You have to learn the Ramban and Mishpatim slowly and carefully. He explains the whole thing. So Moshe goes up on Zayin Sivan, and he comes down and breaks the Luchos 40 days later on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. So the first 40 days were from Zayin Sivan until Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Then Moshe, Rashi explains here in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Ches, Moshe goes back up on the 18th of Tammuz the next day, Davens for Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem forgives Bnei Yisrael to a certain degree, and Moshe comes down on the 29th of Av, Kaf Tes Av, in order to bring up, in order to make the Luchos down in the world. He comes to in the regular world. He comes down, and he goes up the next day on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and stays for 40 days until Hashem fully forgives Bnei Yisrael and says, Rachtakid Varecha on Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur from the very beginning was the day of full Slicha and Mechila. So again, the first 40 days were Zayin Sivan until Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. The second 40 days were Yud Ches Tammuz until Kaf Tes Av. And the last 40 days were Rosh Chodesh Elul until Yom Kippur. And those are taka the days nowadays, and it's become the time of tshuva, starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Torah mentions this, that these 40 days have become the time of tshuva, because already from the beginning, by the first main chait that Am Yisrael had as a nation, the tshuva process was completed, and Hashem forgave us during Elul leading up to Yom Kippur. So that's what Rashi explains here in Perek Tes Pasuk Yud Ches. You have to know the dates, those 120 days. Okay. Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. Hashem tells Moshe, Psol Lecha Shnei Elos Avanim, make the Luchos. And then the next Pasuk mentions, Moshe says, he made the Aron. And Hashem says, make an Aron also. And Moshe put the Luchos in the Aron. Now, this is interesting. Moshe here, this is part of the Tochacha. He's giving Bnei Yisrael Musar, Tochacha. They did Chayte Egel, and Hashem was angry at them. So it's interesting that this is part of the Tochacha. So Moshe Feinstein writes in the Darash Moshe that indeed this is part of the Tochacha. Why? The first Luchos, Bnei Yisrael, were zochet to see. But these Luchos, we were not zochet to see. They were put in the Aron immediately. That's why Moshe made the Aron and brought it up with him and brought the Luchos back down in the Aron. So the second Luchos, Bnei Yisrael never saw. And that's a lower madrega for Bnei Yisrael than the first Luchos. So indeed, this description of the Luchos and the Aron is part of the Tochacha. Moshe was saying, Bnei Yisrael, look what happened. Even though Hashem forgave you for Chet Egel, but still it was never exactly the same. You weren't at the same Madrega. And you never saw the Luchos. So I thought just to add on to this idea of Rav Moshe, there's a famous, famous comment of the Beis Halevi, which many Sfarim later discuss. It's found in his drushos at the end of the tshuvas of the Beis Halevi. And the gist of what he says is that Torah Shebaal Peh, as we know it, came into existence with the second Luchos. Based on Gemaras and Midrashim, the Beis Halevi says that by the first Luchos, basically, everything, 99%, would have been Torah Shebichsav. Everything was written down on the Luchos, B'derech Nes. The only thing we would have had for Torah Shebaal Peh would have consisted only of, if a new case comes up, how do we apply the old Torah? But that's it. How do we apply the Torah that Hashem gave us? But all the drushos and everything was part of Torah Shebichsav. That's the basic Levi claims. And he has many Gemaras and Midrashim. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. Then, by the second Luchos, then things were different. Then the Luchos represented Torah Shebichsav, and there was a separate Torah Shebaal Peh. A separate Torah Shebaal Peh. So Yom Kippur then becomes, in a sense, the day of Torah Shebaal Peh. And this is something which the Beis Halevi's great-grandson, the Rav, discussed many times, that indeed there's a huge, strong connection between Yom Kippur and Torah Shebaal Peh regarding the Avodas Yom Kippur, and that's why Sukkos is linked up to Torah Shebaal Peh, because Sukkos is coming off the Simcha of Yom Kippur. These are very beautiful ideas. So I just wanted to point out that according to Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe's diuk here, the very existence of the Luchos were only based on trusting Moshe, Torah Shebaal Peh. The existence of the Torah Shebichsav, the existence of the Luchos themselves, by the second Luchos, was purely based on Mesorah. So this is an additional emphasis of Torah Shebaal Peh, dafka by the second Luchos over the first Luchos. I think it's a correct comment putting together the famous Beis Halevi with this fourth Dav Rav Moshe. It's parallel. There's a famous comment of the Rav Hirsch and others that the Torah never tells us when Matan Torah is, the date of Matan Torah. We don't know. The Torah never tells us that Matan Torah happened on Shavuos. So Rav Hirsch says that without Torah Shebaal Peh, you can't even celebrate the giving of the Torah Shebichsav. That's regarding Shavuos. So I'm adding on here that by the second Luchos, the very existence of the Luchos, the very existence of the Luchos is only based on the Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay. Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Beis is a famous Pasuk. And now, Yisrael, what's Hashem asking of you? Just to fear Hashem. That's what Hashem is asking you to do. This pasuk is quoted in Menachos Daf Mem Gimel as the source for 100 brachos b'chol yom. We assume it's a din derabbanan, it's in a smachta. That this pasuk is a remez to the idea of 100 brachos every day. That the word ma can be read mea as 100. Some of the Rishonim say that this pasuk has 99 letters in it, and often in a gematria you're one letter off. And if you say the word ma should be read as if it says mea, that would talk be 100 letters. That's another angle of the 100 brachos in this pasuk. Now, so there's a concept of saying 100 brachas every day. That's a din derabanan, and it's based on this pasuk. Now the Rambam writes, the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Av Alech Adalid, mentions Chazal's takan of 100 brachos, and he has a very interesting line. He says, why do we say so many brachos? Kidei lizkor habore tamid uleyir amimenu. To remember Hashem at all times and to fear Him. So the Rambam connects the saying of brachos to Yiras Hashem. The Rambam connects saying brachos to Yiras Hashem. Where did he get it from? The answer is here. Here. Since Chazal say that the source of 100 brachos is this pasuk, and this pasuk mentions Yiras Hashem, that was the Rambam cue to link up saying 100 brachos with Yiras Hashem. Tzach Rav Yaakov's very nice comment that the makor for that interesting Rambam is this pasuk. Now the language of the Rambam is striking. Kidei liskar borei tamid uleyira mimenu. You get the sense, almost, that it's like automatic. Remember Hashem always, and then have fear of Him, and fear Him. So I heard Rav Meir Tversky's Shlita in various Musar Shmuzim points out the following idea, that indeed it is automatic, that if a person is aware of Hashem, he says brachos with some kavana, you're talking to Hashem, then automatically that leads to yira. A person's aware that he's in the presence of Hashem, that naturally, automatically leads to yira. And that taka is the first Rama on the Shulchan Aruch, where he's quoting, Rav Tversky points out, from the Moreh Nevuchim. So it's the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah are saying the same thing. The Rama writes, Shavisi Hashem Unegbi Samit Hu Kal Gadol B'Torah. And he says, if you feel like Hashem is there, you'll act differently. And he says, Kol Shekein, if a person puts to his heart that the king is there watching him, And then the Rama continues, Miyad yagia elav hayira ve'achna v'pachad Hashem yisparach. Immediately the yira would come. So Rav Tversky points out that the Rama also sounds like it's automatic. Miyad, it happens right away. So Rav Tversky thinks that that comment of the Rama in the Moreh Nevuchim is along the exact same lines as the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos. And he develops the idea, he talks a lot about this, that our challenge is to retain that awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We get pulled into other things and we forget and we're distracted. That's what Chazal wanted us to do with brachos. The idea of saying 100 brachos every day is to constantly remind ourselves of Hashem's existence and Hashem's presence. I'm talking to Hashem. If you really felt you were talking to Hashem, then of course we'd all naturally develop this yira. So Rav Tversky talks about the idea, how do you develop yira shamayim? The way to develop yira shamayim, according to the Rambam and the Rama, is to work on our awareness of Hashem's presence. And if a person felt that awareness and had that awareness, then he would naturally, miyad, develop more yira. Beautiful, beautiful, deep comment from Rav Tversky. Okay. This parasha has Vayom Shema Tishmu, the second parasha of Shema. So Rashi says here, quotes from Chazal, in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Im Shema Tishmu, the repetition, Shema, Shema. Rashi says, "Im Shema b'Yashan, Tishmu b'Chadash." According from Chazal, in Brachos, Daf Mem, if you listen to the old, you'll also listen to the new. Rashi and the Gemara explains that if you review what you learned, then you'll gain new insights. In other words, we often think that Chazara is to remember the old things. That's true. But Chazara are teaching us, based on the Diuk and the Psukim, that Chazara of the old material helps with learning the new material as well. We know this to be true. When you know, the more you know, everything starts blending and fitting together. But it's a chazal, it's a pasuk, based, it's chazal developing pshat in the pasuk. If you know the old stuff, if you know the old things you learned, you're much more likely to be successful in learning new things as well. The pasuk continues, Sharanochi mitzav v'cho hayom, I commanded you mitzav eskem hayom, today. Rashi says, Shiralehem alechem chadashim, as new as if it's given today, ki l'shematem bo bayom, as if you heard it today. This, the Rashi mentions elsewhere, we're supposed to view the Torah as if it was given today. To be new to like it's today, and then of course we're much more excited and much more inspired in our avodas Hashem. Okay. The Torah says that if we do the mitzvot, Hashem is going to bring Matar Artzachem Be'ito at its right time. What does it mean at its right time? So Rashi quotes from Chazal, a beautiful idea. Lo yatrichu balegos, lo yatrichu eschem. At night, it shouldn't be an annoyance for you. Belele Shabbos, Hakol Mitzuyim, everyone's at home. In other words, it's not just that it's going to rain and we'll have enough rain, but it's going to rain at the right time of day. It's going to rain on the right day of the week. Rain during the day, driving to work, is not the easiest time for rain. Rain at night when you're at home anyway, so it's easier to deal with. As Rashi says, it's less annoying. Friday night, everyone's home. That's the best time for it to rain. People don't go out on Shabbos at night as much. So that's what the Torah is teaching us, that if we're Zocha, we'll not just get the rain, we'll also get the rain exactly at the right time. The Psukim continues, it says, V'achalta v'savata, Hishamu achem pentif yiftel levavchem. You will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, beware, lest your heart be pulled away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi here quotes this we saw earlier in Devarim. Kaven chetiyu ochli musfeim hishamru lchem shelo tivatu against Hashem. She'ein adam morei b'Kadosh Baruch Hu el mitoch sviya. What a powerful sentence. A person only rebels against Hashem as a result of being sated. When you're full, when you have a lot, when you're wealthy, then you feel you don't need Hashem. So the Torah constantly warns us the dangers of wealth in this sense. If a person becomes wealthy and then he feels, I don't need Hashem anymore, that could lead to terrible problems. That's what Rashi is saying here. There are psukim elsewhere that Rashi quotes. When a person is poor, he knows he needs Hashem. He turns to him all the time. He davens all the time. When a person's wealthy, okay, you don't really, really need Hashem right now. All I need is my bank account number. That's when there's a greater danger of Rachmanu Litzlan turning away from Hashem. And that's the pshat of the pasuk. V'nasati esev b'sadecha v'vhamtecha v'achalta v'savata. And the next pasuk is, be careful, yishamru lechem, be careful. And finally, one more idea, which is as follows. Again, in Vayayim Shamoah, the Torah says at the end of the Vayayim Shamoah, V'samtem estevar, well, not the end, towards the end, V'samtem estevar eila alev avchem. The Psukim describe that if you turn away from Hashem, then Hashem will become angry. V'avadatem mehera, you'll be perish quickly off the land. And then it says, V'samtem Yisrael alabavchem, and keep these mitzvahs on your heart. What does that mean? So Rashi says, based on the flow of the psukim, it's keep the mitzvahs on your heart even after you're in Golus. This is Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Yud Ches. Afle achar shetiglu, even after you go into Golus, heyu mitzuyonim b'mitzvos, be distinguished in the mitzvos. As it says, hatzivilach tziyunim, make markers for yourself. That the mitzvos are like markers. To remind yourself to do the mitzvos even when you're in Chutz Laaretz. To make you different from the goyim, from the other nations of the world. So, what Rashi is saying here is that doing mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz isn't exactly the same as in Eretz Yisrael. Doing mitzvahs in Chutz Laaretz is more like practice. Rashi writes, "Kidei shelo yulem chadashim." It shouldn't be new when you return. The best place, the most important place, the proper place to do the mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. And in Chutz Laaretz, you have to have tzionim for yourself, markers, to be different than the goyim. And we have to be very clear about this. There's a chiyuv to do the mitzvos in Chutz Laaretz. Everyone agrees. A full-fledged chiyuv d'oraisa. But, on one level, the ikker place to do mitzvos is in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what Rashi means. Why is this Rashi so important? Because this idea is known in the name of the Ramban. The Ramban at the end of Parshas Achrimos is a very long Ramban, where the Ramban develops this idea at great length. The ikker place of doing mitzvot is in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is Hashem's home in a sense. So doing mitzvot in Hashem's home, in the palace, is a greater level than in Chutz Laaretz. And just like the mitzvot are more chashuv in Eretz Yisrael than lo aleinu the averos are more severe in Eretz Yisrael. So this idea is known in the name of the Ramban. But many doubt that Rashi agrees with the Ramban. He says it here. It's just that Rashi doesn't emphasize it as much. So this brief Rashi is really saying the same idea as the long Ramban at the end of Achrimos. But it's known as the Ramban's idea because of the length and the whole discussion. He quotes, and the Ramban uses that yesod many times in the Chumash. But this is a famous idea that we should know, that the ik to do mitzvot certainly is in Eretz Yisrael. That's, it seems, what not just the Ramban says, but Rashi says as well, as he writes here in this pasuk. Okay, we'll stop here.